Hey, yo, and here we go. It is We Talk Comics live for the first time in front of a studio audience.
Yeah.
We have planned almost nothing, but we picked some chatty folk that I'm sure can fill up the time in an entertaining way. I want to introduce everyone. First off, my co-host, Brett Monroe.
Hello. Thank you for coming.
Right next to me is the fabulous Ed Brisson, writer of 24 and other stuff. 24 is the only one that I
The field
and Sheltered.
Sons of Anarchy. Don't forget
that. Comeback. Ben, you take over.
Okay. So Ed also does The Field and he does Sheltered, which are two fantastic series you should be reading.
And Avengers.
Avengers.
Secret
yes.
Avengers. Secret Avengers. Yes.
Right. And next to me we got Scott Kowalczyk.
Come on.
No, I don't accept that. No, take it back.
Oh,
no,
come
comments
on.
For you.
Downset Fight is awesome. You should take all the applause that you possibly can.
Shush.
Huge book.
After Scott, we got Riley Rosmo, artist of Curse and Drum Heller. And right at the very end, my co-host on We Talk Comics, Chris.
I have occasionally read a comic book.
Woo! Come on. Let's figure out how it works here.
And the man too reticent to actually introduce himself.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Ben. I do independent comic stuff that you've never heard of.
Woo!
And me and Andrew Foley are doing something together.
Woo!
I'm actually working on it.
That's right. Andrew Foley, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's just start pointing people out in the audience.
I'm a brother.
Hey, guy in the hat. Like,
if we're going to do that.
Hi, who are you?
Does anybody here know first aid? Because this stage is really shaky. Just in case. All right, good. So we know.
Is that actually your brother?
Yeah, no, that's actually my brother.
You guys look a lot alike.
Oh.
That's hurtful.
You guys are both equally handsome.
What if he had said no? Like, would you have to deny that they looked alike then?
I just say that there's a guy that looks like Ben in the audience.
Riley's going to get a lot of drawing done on this panel. If you want to be a comic artist, you got to do what Riley does. He does not stop drawing. He will ignore those around him, those that ask you questions, to continue drawing and get better.
Actually, it's just until the moment when you say something that actually gets into his head, and then it's all like, hey, I'll talk now.
That's true.
That wasn't it, though.
We're modifying the We Talk Comics structure for today. We will start with one news item, though. So yesterday there was casting of the Gem and the Holograms reboot film, featuring three actresses you have not seen in anything, and one actress you have seen in Sharknado. So this got us talking about 80s classic cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
So let's start. Ed, what's your favorite classic cartoon from your childhood?
I was just like a Transformers and G.I. Joe kid, but there's one show I can't remember the name of that was like
you
a
just
weird...
made a lot of new fans. So.
Yeah, come by the Boom Booth and buy stuff. There was a show in the 80s that was like trying to cash in on the Transformers trend really hard about a dude who, whenever he would sweat, would turn into a Corvette. It was like a regular just guy who would just he'd get hot. And there would always be some situation in every episode where he'd get hot under a blanket or something and become a Corvette. It was awesome. I think it only lasted like a season or something. But
you're making that up, man.
No, it's a real show.
Like, was he, like, did he have a conscience? Like, was he, like a human being in the car? Or was he just...
Yeah, he was a human being. He was like, oh, damn, I'm a car again. I'm a Corvette. It sucks. But it was like Stan Winston, like, Werewolf in London style transformation every time he became a car. His face would just go, like, turn into the grill, and it was really upsetting.
I was kind of hoping he'd just be a car that just like turned into a physical, like inanimate car, and just kind of sat there.
Will somebody drive me?
It's 28 minutes of that.
Yeah, just silent. Him park.
He's trying to have it happen in bad neighborhoods, so at least someone like steals him and takes him somewhere. You just for a change of pace.
I'm gonna look this up. I'm gonna look it up and give you guys a title.
In the We Talk Comics tradition, we're now looking things up on the internet during the show. I was tweeting.
Yeah. We never do that.
We're live tweeting from the panel.
Ben, how about you? I mean, you were born in what, 1994?
Yeah. 10 years earlier. We grew up with a very limited amount of cartoons we were allowed to watch.
Right.
So I was a big fan of the ones that I could sneak downstairs and watch occasionally, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Inspector Gadget. And between that, great Bible adventure stories, the Hanna-Barbera one. And another one called Superbook that was like weird anime Christian stories. I still got it on VHS.
Do you and your brother still watch those?
Oh, yeah. We get together and really relive our Christian days.
Twice a month.
Yeah. Over a lot of coke.
Now it's a comic panel.
The show is called Turbo Teen, by the way. I just looked it up.
Turbo Teen.
Teen.
He was a teenager.
Lots of problems.
Turbo.
Who hasn't been there in their teenage years, though?
I turned into a car.
It's a confusing time. Your body's changing into a car.
A Chevette, too. Like, just can't get any plan.
Now, Scott, you probably still watch 80s 80s cartoons.
Yeah, so maybe I do. I was a big G.I. Joe guy, but there was one offshoot of G.I. Joe that everybody that didn't get as much recognition as I thought it deserved, which was the Bionic Six.
I didn't know that was a G.I. Joe cartoon.
No. One person remembers the Bionic
Six. Bionic Six.
Yeah.
See, there we go.
We are a family.
It was a family. It was
a
family of
rights
cyborgs.
To that song.
With a pet monkey.
With a pet giant cyborg monkey.
And the toys are metal.
Multiracial family, as I remember.
The action figures were die-cast metal,
yes.
And the paint like flaked off of them So those were Christian, okay?
Mom was okay with robots killing things and cyborgs falling to robots.
Okay. That's good. Well, Scarab, the villains kind of had a bit of a cross on their chest.
Yeah.
No, Mom, it's totally Christian. This is Jesus. Yeah, he's a little fat. But can that cartoon exist? Just a bad guy Jesus?
He's all gangsta now.
Is that
really
cover?
Should be.
Riley, 80s cartoons?
We had only CBC, so... For a long time, anyway.
So it was raccoons.
It was raccoons.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man. Spider-Man and Hercules.
So let's say, now, most of those became comics. Like, a lot of these became comics. Were there kids' comics based on Saturday morning cartoons that you picked up?
I had an Elf comic.
That's right.
That's really weird. That was really bad. But I got it in Banff at a gift shop. That's all they had. They had Elf. So.
They made a lot of Elf stuff.
Yeah.
I have a puppet too.
Cool.
That explains so much.
Yeah, that sounds way worse than it actually is.
Like, I just assume you at home, like, just in the bathtub. Oh, well, how are you?
Hey, Willie.
I found I was doing my yearly throwing shit out, and I found a stack of Elf trading cards, which I guess existed, and I bought at some point. So they exist. They were all like TV shaped. Do you want them, Riley?
There's a cartoon too. There's an Elf cartoon too. I know the song to that too.
It was a prequel cartoon.
Sing it.
There was an Elf prequel cartoon that.
Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon Shumway.
He was on the planet, right?
That's right. It was the Adventures of Elf before he came to Earth.
Melmac.
On Melmac.
That's right.
That's
who wanted that?
I did.
It was like, I am desperate to know what happened to Elf before he started eating cats.
That'd be me. Of course.
Yeah. The guy with the Elf puppet. Asshole.
Chris, how about you? We haven't heard from you yet.
This isn't from the 80s, but I have to say my favorite cartoon of all time is Earthworm Jim.
Oh, that's good. That's got a good song, too.
Yeah, great song, very funny, a character named Snot.
And the International House of Kings.
And Peter Puppy, who... hated his sidekick that beat him up on a regular basis. I just love that.
And I think they got like 2 issues of a comic out before the bottom fell out of that franchise. Fondly remembered, though.
But voiced by Homer himself.
Yeah. Now, what are you looking up on the internet, Scott?
I forgot to talk about She-Ra.
Yeah.
I literally have like all the ringtones on my phone.
Well, who wants to hear a ringtone from She-Ra?
So it exists.
That really comes off well, I'll say.
This is it for the next hour.
That's good podcast.
We're so good.
She-Ra was so much better than Masters of the Universe.
That's not true.
No, it's not.
It's absolutely true.
What is true, though, is that the Christmas special is awesome.
I still haven't seen the Christmas special.
I've got it. We can set up something.
Can you talk to me through your elf puppet when I come over?
You got it.
Okay, good. Awesome.
We're not dodging this one. I
just thought He-Man was better.
No, I think I do actually, like, they were both great. Don't
I like the villain better in She-Ra, because he was like a redesign of Skeletor, basically. Yeah. He was like, just like, they made Skeletor look cooler.
Well, when did She-Ra come out? Was it like 1987?
No, wait, it was like 84, 85, wasn't it? I think so.
Anyway, when I was watching it, it was sort of like that sort of 9, 10-year-old phase, and I was sort of like, oh, girls. Girls. There's a long-legged blonde. Like, I'm okay with that.
You know, when I was younger, I actually liked She-Ra better. Now that I'm older, though, I've gotten more into He-Man.
So your tastes have matured.
Yeah. They're both done.
It's like fine wine, really.
Yeah, I bought them all for like $5 at HMV.
I like Catra. I'm just saying, I like Catra.
I'm the one.
Crawling turns into a cat as soon as she puts her mask down. What's not to love about She-Ra? Bunch of dicks.
I'm the one fan of Mask.
I love Mask.
Great, that was a good show.
Marble armor.
Now we got a panel for next year.
Seriously, Mask sucked.
Do you guys remember Mask? Anyone? So, yeah. So Mask were just regular everyday vehicles, like a semi, that turned into weapons.
No, they turned into vehicles with weapons.
That was the brilliance of Mask, is that they were one kind of vehicle.
So they're vehicles that
turn into
vehicles.
A second kind of vehicle.
It's the same thing.
But there's a helicopter that turns into a jet.
It's true. In case you need to go in a straight line.
And a robot that turned into a scooter? I hated the little kid character.
Oh, yeah, little kid character.
The little kid characters are never good in shows. No, they're the worst.
And then they're masks. So the thing is called Masks. Their vehicles turn into a different vehicle, and their masks all have powers. So there's like a mask that shoots like fire or ice or whatever. That's so weird. Like, so many concepts.
It was it was a shitty cartoon, but a great toy line. I've got the
Boulder Mountain.
Not Boulder Mountain. It was the snake oil like
Matt tanker.
I don't know. You pull the back of the tanker up and there's like a fucking missile in there.
No, but it's a big missile, right?
It's a huge missile.
It's like a Scud missile. Like, yeah. It's not like a little like. It's like.
And all the characters were tiny and the tiny masks that always went down the fucking drain on the tub because it always happened on the bathtub. What is our topic?
There was a comic. There was a Mask comic.
Right.
Yeah, there was. I actually had all of them. But the one thing that I remember about Mask was I always loved the ads that were in the back of the comic. It was always one of those cases like, ooh, Mask. Yeah, that was great.
But, well, they had the mini comics too. The mini comics were what got me into comic books with toys in the 1980s.
Wow.
See how
I tied all this together? that's instinct right there.
Yeah.
Go for it. Thanks, man.
See, mine is a comic book and an animated series crossover. I like Visionaries.
Oh, yeah.
Visionaries.
It didn't
the
last
magical
very long.
Lights.
Yeah. But I loved it because it was like, you know, we exited
you're
the
like
age
a
of
prodigy,
science.
Riley. I'm serious.
We're out of the age of science and into the age of magic, and like there's half these, you know, scientific things that still work, and magic is supposed to work it now.
Yeah. I like that you're just making this up now, Brad.
Yeah, you know.
I really like that show too, and I like the toys, but I hated that they were just a little bit bigger than G.I. Joe's.
I know, the 3¾-inch toys were always the best.
I get it.
Misspent youth.
None of this was rehearsed, so you know. I think they
we'll
got that.
It out.
Do we want to move on and see if there's any questions?
Sure.
We got some time.
Anybody have any questions? Maybe even about comic books.
Anybody need to know something about 80s toys?
comics, toys, cartoons.
Voltron. Let's
comics.
Talk Voltron.
Or
so
comics.
We talked about that Voltron. One. Yeah, Voltron. Come on. Yeah.
Anybody got any
Which version did you like? Like well, I like the lions. I like the lions.
Yeah,
I had a Voltron when I was a kid that I actually had to be returned. Because the paint was toxic.
But that was like every 80s story.
No, this one was an actual recall. So imagine getting like the entire giant Voltron on Christmas and then like fucking Boxing Day. Like, oh yeah, it's got to go back.
I wouldn't give it back. Sorry, Mom.
I would probably not get like it.
I want the
and
lead.
Other than that, I would not give it back.
Would your parents show you the recall notice or would you just cut in shit and it's like that?
I think that's the truth.
They're like, keep it nice in the box until Boxing Day.
I kept the sword. I remember that. I said, okay, you can have it. I'm keeping the damn sword.
So. You are so tainting that mic for the next person to come in here.
I know.
You have
all right.
A lot of pets run away when you were a kid or anything like that?
Shut up.
All right, we're going to go to questions, and probably the hands will shoot up when I say that we have trade paperbacks to give away to those who have questions.
Awesome.
Oh, weird. Free comics. Hey.
All right, there we go.
I'll ask a question.
I'm going to get Youngblood Volume 1 right now.
All right. You first.
What was your first genre of comics before you started getting really into it? Like, did you just get, like, a fantasy-based one, or, like, as you said, army, or kind of something like
that? I'll answer for everybody. It was erotica.
Yeah.
I draw my own porn comics for myself and hide them in my toy box until my mom found them.
Like, a year ago.
The deck. Yeah. That was last week.
Your brother knows.
The audience.
Shared experience.
That was your target audience, though.
No, yeah, he was the person who was paying for it. Show me some porn, Ben.
Okay.
All right, you get this.
Mine was G.I. Joe. I'm going to answer the question. Mine was Tales of G.I. Joe number 2 or 3. I always forget which one. At Herb Trimpe reprint. And a Voltron. And then Voltron was shortly after that. And the Voltron was really bad.
You guys are wrong. The first comic we all read was Secret Wars. That's all there is to it. That was the best.
No, I read a lot of Archie. Those are safe. I still love Archie. That's fantastic.
That's a good book.
Yeah, my first ones were like superhero based. It was like Captain Canuck was actually my first comic that I ever read, and then a lot of the like animal ones, Captain Carrots and the Peter Porker, the Amazing Spider Ham.
I love that. I remember those from Who's Who when I was a kid, and Who's Who. Those were the ones I was like, oh, those are awesome.
Mary Jane Water Buffalo.
Awesome. The Red Tornado.
The Punfisher.
Was that the Punfisher? I don't know.
The Punfisher.
Oh, the Punfisher. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think my first one was the Beastman comic that came with the action figure.
The mine Beastman would be like lots of superhero stuff for me. But I started collecting. Like, I actually think of when I became a comic collector with G.I. Joe and Power Pack. Oh, yeah.
That Power Pack public service comic always really weirded me out. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
It's like the good touch, bad touch one. People would give it away for free, and I'd always forget what the cover was. So I'd get it, and I'd read it, and be like, ooh.
He always refers back to it, so don't let it like coin a school. You're like, oh, was that a good touch last night, right?
Yeah, that's a good touch, bad touch refresher.
Show us on the Power Pack comic where they touch it. Let's go to another question.
All right. Okay, we got him.
It's the most exercise Brett's gotten this week. Sorry, Brett. I'm sorry. That was so
mean. Okay. Favorite G.I. Joe character and why? All of you.
No. Stalker. Stalker kicked ass back in the 80s. He was just a badass dude. He was a sniper, right? He was just a cool dude. Everyone liked Storm Shadow and
Snake Eyes?
Yeah, Snake Eyes, that's right.
Doesn't it depend, though? I think it depends if you read the comic or not. Because if you read the comic, the characters have all these other, like, things about them. Like, I really like...
Are you serious in making this question more complicated?
Yeah, like, I really like Ripcord. Because Ripcord infiltrated Cobra Island.
Yeah.
And then Zartan beat him up and switched places with him. And
I remember.
I like Ripcord.
Come on, Quick Kick was the best because he was the only one who never wore shoes. I could never figure out... Why?
Like,
I was watching.
They
were in the Arctic, and
yeah.
Quick didn't have shoes. Now, that is one tough G.I. Joe.
I'm with you. That's
and they
point.
Killed him off too.
See, now I give props to Snowjaw for the opposite reason, that he would wear a parka no matter what jungle environment they were in.
And there's something weird about his name. I don't know.
Yeah, something.
Yeah. Dude came with skis. That was his. That was his weapon of choice. Was a pair of skis. It's awesome.
He was my first like Joe figure. Cobra Commander was always my favorite.
He was crazy.
You like his voice.
He was a crazy white guy.
But what helmet did you like on him?
I like the hood.
You like the hood, not
the hood because I could see like the skin. Like I could see like an actual like human being underneath that thing.
That hood was ridiculous.
So Cobra Commander needs more skin, is what you.
Yeah. Was that like spirit gum to his nose? Is that
I have no idea.
The top. Well, that would still shift though.
He wore a mask underneath. Because what if that thing blew off? Like if there was like a big.
Just wear the one underneath.
Well,
that's why I had the battle helmet.
It's a fashion thing. I actually got
it. It was a marketing and branding thing that Cobra did.
Yeah,
he's a layered character.
6 pages.
I got the mail-in hooded Cobra Commander, which took forever to get because I had to buy like 10 G.I. Joes or whatever to get the proof of purchases.
8 to 10 weeks in Canada.
It was nuts.
Oh, yeah. It did take a long time. I can attest.
He's awesome. I still have him. His crotch fell off.
You are making me believe, man. I wonder if someone's going to say Refrigerator Perry was their favorite G.I. Joe.
No, Tunnel Rat. Right?
Oh.
Was Refrigerator's toy bigger than the other ones?
No, it's the same size. And it was a mail-away, too.
Yeah.
At first, yeah.
I had a football for a weapon.
Yeah. On, a mace football.
Stick. But he was Sergeant Slaughter, that's right.
I never understood, like, at the time why I didn't love Sergeant Slaughter, because it was wrestling and G.I. Joe. It kind of made me a little uncomfortable.
I knew we were going to get into wrestling.
It's chocolate and sushi, though. Like, they're two great things that don't go well together.
I think they went pretty good. I think they went pretty well together.
Slaughter was never a big, like, he was like an old school wrestler. I think by the time in the like, 80s when I was watching wrestling, he was always that guy who's like Gorilla Monsoon. Era wrestler, you just did not care about it. It's like, hey, it's Pedro Morales. And actually, I met Pedro Morales. He's a really nice guy. So I think
he's in the back.
Yeah.
He's back there.
He likes comics, too. All right, I'm actually going to go to Sean for a question because he's important to us.
Wow, you guys are on the first same basis.
He designed this logo. So.
Great. Can't see it.
He rocks. We'll give you stickers afterwards.
Brett, your shirt's inside out. Again.
Okay, Archie. Role model for our time or kind of a douche? Dating the same girls probably longer than most people here have been alive. So, I don't know, the modern take.
I think he's fantastic. I don't really like Archie particularly. I'm more of a Reggie guy myself.
Really?
Yeah, I think Archie
people
is...
like Reggie.
Archie's a bit of an asshole, and Betty, really? Like, you're just going to wait around for that guy forever. Like, have some self-respect, Betty. No, Reggie's awesome, but Archie has done a lot of fantastic stuff, especially recently, pushing the envelope. So outside of, like, the character himself, and, you know, he's prone to whoever's writing him, I think the comic itself has done some really great things lately and pushed the envelope with comics itself. And I mean, a lot of people forget that it's still basically like one of the number one publishers of comics in North America, if not the, like they sell more than anybody else. So it's got a big influence and I think they've done a lot of great stuff with it recently.
What's this envelope that they push? That you
well, let's see, like things like Kevin Keller, like one of the, you know, more prominent first gay characters in North American comics, and they do stuff like that. They're killing Archie pretty quick. It's in the Life of Archie storyline, so it's alternate universe, so don't worry if you are Archie aficionados.
For comics fans, it's like ultimate Archie.
What's the worst way Archie could die? Suicide. That's probably it.
Try to get that image out of your head now.
Spoiler.
I was never an Archie guy. I like Scooby-Doo. I don't know a thing about Archie. I've got a little girl. I've got a little almost 3-year-old girl. And what I liked about Scooby-Doo was there was two chicks on it that were actually pretty good, like kind of polar opposite female role models. Like, yeah. Velma was a bright chick. who everybody didn't really love as much as Daphne, but she was still super bright.
I like how you called them role models and then right after called them chicks.
I use that with as much affection as humanly possible. Or ladies, sorry. Thanks a lot, Ed. I look like a complete asshole.
I was doing a check of the audience for if there were any kids in the audience before I said that autoerotic asphyxiation would be the worst way for action.
on that clunker, yes, with that car that he drives.
I do hate his hair too. Yeah. Do something with that.
Just like in his car, like in that car, he's got it all tied all together.
the jalopy. The only reason any of us know the word jalopy is from Archie Comics. I thought it was a sandwich.
Well, you did leave a sheltered child. All right, do we want another question?
Let's take another question.
Okay. I'm going back here. And then I'll come up to here.
Graphic novel to whoever goes next door and tells them to turn it down.
You have to yell it loud enough for us to hear the
yeah. When you were growing up, when you just first started reading your first comics, were there creators that stood out for you more than others where you just went, wow, I love this person's stuff?
We have that again. I didn't.
I know what he said. Is there creators that stood out for us?
Oh, creators?
Bill Sienkiewicz.
Oh, yeah, surprise. Come on, Riley.
Something better than that?
Something other.
John Byrne. I will go first. John Byrne is the first artist that I could recognize from sight without looking at the credits of the comic.
We are so totally getting Doom Patrol out of Scott.
No, I didn't actually read Doom Patrol until like 5 years ago for the first time.
New Mutants.
I know the guy who asked the question.
New Mutants number 6.
Okay.
Bill Sienkiewicz. He's the best. Everybody should just know who he is. Also a Claremont book.
I was absolutely obsessed with tracking down every Frank Miller. That was the first name I knew in comic books.
Cool.
That
Wolverine miniseries, Frank Miller, or Chris Claremont.
Yeah.
All Chris Claremont books except for Ed's, probably. I don't know.
Checking, I think Chris Claremont wrote every comic in the 1980s.
Series that influenced the series that hit me the hardest and I think had the most lasting impact on me was Kraven's Last Hunt, the Spider-Man series. It's so dark.
I read it again recently. Yeah. It's Mike Zach Art. It's hot, right?
Yeah, his art's good.
Dark.
Back when they knew how to kill Spider-Man.
And if you read a lot of my comics, you probably can see that sort of like why that appealed to me when I was younger. But creator-wise, I wanted to be an artist originally. I wanted to be Todd McFarlane. Like, just that's what I wanted to be. And then Frank Miller, I was a huge fan of his writing and art when he was doing City to City as well.
I think I like John Byrne too. John Byrne was like when Superman, when he rebooted Superman, when that came out, it was kind of like, dude, he gets Superman. Like that was a good interpretation of Superman, I think.
Mike Mignola did villains on that.
I got Mike Mignola to sign one of those Supermans from that era, and he was unhappy the entire time that I wanted to talk about Superman. So if you're getting an autograph from him, bring Hellboy. That was a lesson learned right there.
Amazing screw on head is also acceptable.
All right.
Curse is awesome.
Thanks.
Is there anything, I mean, horror has always been a huge comic book genre. Is there anything different that you have to do with tempo and things to make a horror comic actually kind of horrifying so that you don't skip down the page and go, oh, I can see the giant flaming skull at the end, or is it just...
I don't know. I think about that a lot, and I've thought about it a lot, and it's a weird medium for horror, and I really like 70s horror comics and I like 60s horror comics, and I want to make really scary comics, but it's hard because you can't build, like, you can't have cat scares, you can't build music into the reveal. You can do page turns, but because the reader controls the speed at how they, when they digest this, like when you're reading a novel, you can go like, whoa, right? But if you're kind of like, right? Like, it's hard to do. So it seems like the lasting images, like you can build as much atmosphere as you possible, but then you kind of got to just hit somebody with something like crazy, like intestines or just some sort of really disturbing image, or like just a combination of weird images. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it has to come a lot more through character work too, like that's yeah. like making people care about someone and, you know, doing shitty things to them.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta kind of look at your horror from a different, you can't, like you said, you don't have the scares, you're not gonna get someone to jump, so like, I feel like, yeah. I know I'm jumping in on your question.
No, you're right, or like just build up the character and then do horrible things to them. And if there's one lasting image that's extra horrible, that's, yeah. like,
that's a good rule. Period. Alright.
Speaking of horror, back to, can anybody name the publisher and creator of Wheelie and the Chopper Bunch?
No.
Is it,
can if you give me 45 seconds.
He hates Calgary.
Oh, well, that's terrible.
Why would we talk about him then?
I'm actually not going to look it up. was it Charlton? Oh,
John Byrne.
Was it Charlton?
Charlton.
All right. Was the urban legend is that Charlton comics were printed on the same presses as cereal boxes. They were done overnight on printing presses that did cereal boxes. That's why they look like the way they did.
You're such a dork.
That's what I was looking up on.
No judgment.
I just, you know, it occurred to me what comics were like printed on the printing presses of cereal boxes. Because that's the kind of thing that just pops into my mind.
Is that your internal monologue?
That is.
Right now, like moderating this panel? Like, oh, cereal, I want some cereal. Remember comics that were printed on cereal?
You gotta do something when you're at work, right?
You just make your own fun.
Basic comic cereal boxes, use them for backing books to save yourself the yeah. 5 or 10 cents or whatever. Yeah.
Or when I buy books, sometimes I'd buy books and I'd open them and it'd be like a Shreddies box.
Chris gave me a Captain Canuck comic a few months back, and it had literally just a piece of cardboard, like not treated, just brown cardboard slipped into it. Not a mark on that comic. So if you're buying backing boards, you're wasting your money.
Okay. I got a question.
There, you learned something. Go ahead.
I got a question for everyone. Do you guys bag and board your comics?
Only my sagas.
I don't
I don't care about
I read them in the bathtub.
I got some guy at the comic shop over at 80 got mad at me. He was watching me buy, and he's like, "You're getting a box, but you're not getting bags." And I was like, "No, dude, I'm just gonna read them and chuck them in there." He's like, "You're gonna lose all the worth." I'm like, "Dude, I'm gonna get worth out of reading them."
I give all my comics away every like 6 months. Like, I have a box I throw them into, and there's a friend of mine's a high school teacher in Vancouver, and I just give them there, and they go to like a read pile for kids and. At his high school, they just read them. I've never hung out to. I hate having stuff in the house. Like, long boxes give me the heebies. And I just don't like looking at them. I don't have trades. Like, I love collecting trades, and so I've got bookshelves filled with trades, but not singles.
I'm as noble as Ed. I do the same thing, except I don't give them to children in need. I give them to a comic book store and get credit.
These children, like, these kids aren't children in need. They're like high school pricks, but you know, they get free comic books. You know?
Ed, go with it. Yeah. Go with the kids. Right. Do you guys still have Pullis?
Oh yeah.
Yes.
I love going to the comic store on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
I love it. I love seeing them. If I can get there before anybody else has been in there. Because, you know, I have a hookup so I could get in before the store opens. I love just seeing them all out in the rack. I just walk up to them, there's nobody else around. I just flip through them.
And then he spits in them.
I lick each one.
Yeah, he liked when they went to the glossy stock. It was.
Oh, you got a question back there.
Faster.
So, if you guys had a choice, who would your dream superhero be to do a comic on?
Swamp Thing. That's it. For everyone?
Like
Swamp Thing? Swamp Thing? Swamp Thing. I had Doctor Strange, too.
Okay, without giving anything away, I literally actually get to live that dream in sort of the next 3 months and work on my dream character.
Are you allowed to talk about it?
No, yeah. I'm not allowed to talk about it yet. But I do literally get to live that dream.
I got the subtext there that you weren't allowed to talk to.
Sorry?
Tease.
That's how I do it.
Can you tell me
for you? Yeah. I honestly, same thing just happened to me, and it did talk about it a bit earlier, but I'm a huge, huge Captain Canuck fan, and I'm getting to write the backups for the new Captain Canuck.
Woo.
So, like, that's, me doing that. For the most part, like, there's not a lot of superheroes I want to write outside of maybe Daredevil and Punisher. Maybe some Batman.
Swamp Thing?
Swamp Thing is boring. Everything that they did with Swamp Thing is done.
Oh.
Right, not with what era? Like, is
I think,
the Alan
okay,
Moore Swamp
let's
Thing
talk about Punisher. Ed's gonna come at me about Swamp Thing, right? Swamp Thing's so one-dimensional. Punisher.
Come on, you're
right?
Punisher is terrible.
Punisher is pretty much the worst.
He can't be. It's not like regular Marvel Universe Punisher.
The NS that's all we ever needed.
Yeah.
I don't know how to relate to this guy. Like, he loses, he has a great loss or whatever, right? And then he just goes on a killing spree
and kills a million people's lives.
Like, and just kills. And when's it enough?
And he shoots gangbangers to get revenge for someone who killed his family 15 years ago.
When are you guys going to start talking about the cons of this?
And like, daughters?
This is totally good. Like, this is exactly why I want to write it. This is all the good stuff.
Daredevil, though. I'd draw that Daredevil.
Oh, so now you guys are buddies.
Well, you don't even read it. I'll ruin it for you.
We didn't talk about the Punisher video game for PlayStation.
I really like that game. No. The Capcom one. There's the Super Nintendo one that's amazing.
It is great.
The arcade version's even better. I like that Punisher. I like Mike Beck Punisher.
That's the one where the second player is Nick Fury?
Yeah, that one rocks. Everyone has guns, they just throw knives most of the time.
There's a lot of money there.
Awesome.
There's a match made in heaven right there. Nick Fury and the Punisher together again.
They're good. Like the Ennis stuff, like when Fury comes in, he's that crotchety old fucker. Like,
he's good.
Such a
really
prick.
Good. That run is spectacular. Yeah, both ends of that run are best. Like,
wait do you see mine? It's going to top it. Unbelievable.
Can we do a live play next year, Riley, you and Chris playing the SNES Punisher?
Yeah.
Just a super nice.
Next week.
I'll go to that.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll set that
up. I'm writing your guys.
Ben, did you get an answer to that? No, because there aren't really any superheroes I want to draw.
Look at me. Yes. I don't like superheroes. Oh, superheroes are the worst.
No, they're fine. It's not a superhero. Like, you want Cerebus or you want... No, I just want to do my own thing.
Nothing but ours.
What about like Think Tank for them? Somebody has a pail of money. They have like a wheelbarrow of money, and you're like, sorry, guys.
I don't think I'd say no to anything for a wheelbarrow of money.
Well, so what are you going to do for the wheelbarrow of money? Come on, son, pick it.
I don't know. I don't want to draw Spider-Man. His costume's so boring.
Okay, I will literally give you a wheelbarrow full of money if you cuddle one night long with Keith, Brad, and Mo.
It turns out there are things I won't do for a wheelbarrow.
That goes right over there. Yeah, I'll do it.
Chris,
if it's real money, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay. No. She wants it up front.
It's all Ben. And I know you'd do it.
I know.
Chris,
Canadian Tiger money.
Chris would be sitting on a chaise, like in the corner, watching you guys cuddle.
Actually, not Star Lord. I do Star Lord.
You're creeping me out, man.
The Annihilation stuff. I really like that space
good,
stuff
right?
back in the early 2000s.
Yeah. That whole, all of that was good.
Fantastic. We probably have time for maybe one more question.
One more question. Okay. Well, next in line is you.
Hey guys, I was just wondering if you had a comic book or a figure that you sold and then later regretted and maybe tried to track it down again.
I have not one that I sold, but because I letter a lot of comics, I get comps all the time from publishers. So I had like 25 copies of each issue of Peter Panzerfaust. And at some point last year, they went to like $1,000 for the entire run. And I'd given them all away to my friends. So it was a lot of me like walking to my friends' houses, knocking on the door, and going like, "Hey, do you remember when I lent you those Peter Panzerfausts?" But no, I like literally gave away about $25,000 worth of those comics last year. And that's the only time that's ever. I don't collect comics, so I never run into that.
I sold. I've done that before with comps. I've given away comps that turned out to be worth money. But I had a Walking Dead 1-6, and I sold them to the comic store for $250 of trade, like credit, and I was like, sucker!
There was a variant of Saga that had like the different cover for the first issue, and I had about like 10 of those, and I gave them all away. I've still got one, but yeah, those things are worth money.
Yeah.
I don't live with regrets, so...
That's very zen of you.
He's
not willing to dredge it up.
I live with nothing but regret, so I can't even start the list.
We balance one.
Yeah.
The biggest regret, Scott.
Yeah. My parents would say the same thing. See? Ending it on a downer.
I think we can do one more question.
Okay, one more question.
That's a great question.
Who's next? Sorry. It was... sure. It's you. From the Marple crossover for events, which would be your favorite each?
Sorry, could you repeat that? I didn't...
Sorry, that's the... Which of the Marvel crossover events would be your favorite?
Ever?
For each. Yeah. Ever?
Ever, each person.
Each person, ever.
Each one of us was our favorite ever.
Can I say Amalgam?
No, that's not good. You just
shouldn't. But that would be stupid.
Nope, I stand by it. That weird Spider Superboy is like one of my favorite characters that ever existed.
You know, I like Dark Claw.
Yeah, Dark Claw. What was his name? Bruce something? Yeah.
Bruce Logan, maybe?
Bruce Logan. Yeah, Lobo the Duck. That was some dumb shit. It was great.
I think Secret Wars was like the big one, like, because that was a, like really the first one, right? That was awesome. But
Secret Wars is literally the only one I remember. I know there's been a bunch in the last decade, but I couldn't name one of them.
I like the thrust behind Civil War. Like, I like the idea behind it.
Yeah.
I don't know how much.
The close, yeah. The end was... So, but the concept I thought was interesting.
And I really like that Speedball was at the center of that, because he's like my favorite D-lister character that never gets any sort of play.
Yeah, but he goes and kills they wrecked Speedball there. I mean, that penitence art did not work at all.
There's just like character. Different, like it's like just sideways shitty.
That's true.
I'm going to go with what is widely thought to be one of the worst crossovers ever, but it was near and dear to my heart, Secret Wars 2. Because it was as a kid, it was the time that I realized that all these characters knew each other and lived in the same universe, which I thought was wild. Like, you know, the Spider-Man and the Fantastic Four could hang out, and
my goddamn brother walked out on me.
I just wanted to point that out.
No, it's fine. Go, family.
Finally!
I thought Secret Wars 2 was the first time as a child I realized that a comic book could be shitty. That was the first time I had expectations. Like,
come on, it was worth it for the shoulder pads alone.
Yeah. The G.I. Joe Transformers crossover, too, that was a really good one. Even if it was a marketing thing.
I remember it actually being kind of good, though.
Yeah, like legitimately, as a kid, I loved it. It killed Bumblebee, man. Yeah.
There's that big reveal with they were calling Galvatron at the time and Cobra Commander meeting each other for the first time.
Right, yeah.
It was fantastic. All right, we gotta wrap it up. They will continue to talk about G.I. Joe and Transformers in the entryway here.
We'll bring that full circle, didn't we?
Thanks to all of our guests here for We Talk Comics Live. This is the first time we tried this, and to answer Scott's earlier question, no, I didn't have a topic. I figured I would introduce everyone, and it would just kind of go from there. And,
it didn't show, did it? Yeah.
Can this be the last time we try this?
Next year, I'm gonna do a better introduction for it, though. Yes. So that'll. I'll be practicing it from now for
you know,
it's
gonna come back.
I had a moment when you started saying fabulous because you hung on the foot a little bit and it sounded like you were gonna say fat, and I'm like, shit,
now you're mad about something I didn't say.
I'm gonna take that to my grave.
All of the trades that we handed out here were compliments of our pals at comicosity.com, which is a fabulous website that's only about comics. There's no news on TV or movies. It is all comic books. And as well, we have a big pile of loose comic books. Come on up, grab a couple for yourself, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for...